Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined today by Paul Ingrassia with Reuters and Mickey Maynard with Forbes.com. The Republican National Convention has been making the case that President Obama has mismanaged the economy. But that didn't stop the White House from making a big move this week that'll have enormous implications. By 2025, the cars we buy will average 54.5 miles per gallon. That's going to change the type of cars we drive, how much we pay at the pump, and how much oil we as a nation will need. And that's why I asked the two of you to join me, because both of you have such an extensive history covering the auto industry. So, Mickey, let me start with you. Does this mean that when I go to the new car lot, I'm going to see stickers on car windows that say 55 miles per gallon city highway?
Well, it's a confusing situation. The overall number is based on a couple of very old tests. Back when the CAFE standards were created, cars were rated on city driving and highway driving. And that's how this big number, this 55-mile-an-hour number, is come up with. But when you look at the window stickers, those are actually calculated on a whole different set of driving standards. Things like, do you use your air conditioning? How fast do you drive? Are you driving in challenging conditions? And what that usually means is a fuel economy standard that's about 20% lower than that big number. So if you think about the 55 miles per gallon, it'll probably be about 40 on the average car truck window sticker. Now, that's still a lot more than cars have to get right now, and that is going to be somewhat challenging for the car makers to get to, but we have 13 years for the car makers to get there.
Well, Paul, that is one of the big goals here, is to try and reduce our dependence on foreign oil and gasoline consumption. But is this the way to go about it, to require cars to be more fuel efficient?
Well, no, it's pretty stupid, actually, Charlie. You know, the whole thing is, if you look back in the 100-plus years of the American automobile industry, there have been only three times that Americans have moved from bigger cars to smaller cars. One was 1973, one was 1979, and the other was 2008. Now, what did those 3 years have in common, you might ask? And that was gas prices soared. They spiked up unexpectedly. So what really moves people to smaller cars is high gasoline prices. So if you really wanted to do this in a way that made sense for the economy, that made sense for fuel efficiency, what you would do, you would raise gasoline taxes substantially, like they are in Europe. So gas costs about $8 a gallon. You would offset that with a cut in income taxes, so therefore you'd be taxing consumption of gasoline, but reducing taxes on productive activity, i.e. income, and you'd get where you want to go. But the fact of the matter is, just legislating this has never worked, and it's probably not going to work again.
Yeah, but is raising gasoline taxes, is that even on the drawing board for any party?
No, of course not, because the politicians want to, they're basically, their position is, you know, is a free lunch. We can just legislate it. I mean, why did they just choose 54 and a half? Why didn't they choose 154?
So, Mickey, we know that gas prices are really volatile. We saw it this week with Hurricane Isaac hitting the Gulf Coast. At what point do Americans say, I'm willing to spend more, or I want a fuel-efficient car to protect myself from these price swings?
Well, some people actually are buying smaller vehicles. There are cars like the Chevrolet Cruze, which has been selling. You always will have the Honda Civic, the Toyota Corolla. You have cars from Hyundai. You actually have companies like BMW and Mercedes that are looking to small cars as a global strategy. And you know, they want to pick up sales, but they also want to sell the kinds of cars that people will want.
I want to ask both of you this question. Gas prices always get tied up into politics, whether it's drill, baby, drill, or the push for green vehicles. How does this announcement from the president, especially the timing during the Republican convention, fit into the overall election?
Well, it says it's all about politics, is what it says. I mean, you know, he could have made this announcement any other time. These discussions and these conversations and negotiations and calculations over this issue have been going on for months and months and months, and it just happens to be released during the week of the Republican convention. I mean, how stupid does he think people are?
One of the things you have to know about Obama is that he's been writing about fuel economy for years and years and years. If you go back to his books and read what he says about the auto industry, he's been saying that he wants to see more fuel-efficient cars, electric cars on the road. So in that sense, it's consistent with what Obama said all along, and he's going into his convention and say, I just issued fuel economy rules that will require 54 miles per gallon.
What he wanted to do was steal some of the thunder from the Republican convention, let's face it.
But did he? Was he successful in doing so?
Well, I think both the convention and his announcement were overshadowed by the hurricane.
Well, finally, let's look ahead to the stories that we're watching in the coming weeks. Once again, joining me are Paul Ingracia with Reuters and Mickey Maynard at Forbes.com. Paul, what are you looking ahead to?
And actually, our Reuters bureau out in San Francisco broke this story, is that the CEOs of Google and Apple are in settlement talks on patent issues. As you'll recall, last week was the blockbuster jury verdict out in the Bay Area, in which a federal jury did say that Samsung, which is sort of widely viewed as a stalking horse for Google, did infringe on Apple's patents. So now that the CEOs of Google and Apple, Tim Cook and Larry Page, are having direct discussions on patent issues is really a major story that's going to affect the kind of devices we're going to have for a long time in our hands.
Mickey?
Well, there's a story in Detroit that's even bigger than anything to do with the election or any candidate that comes through here, and that's what happens with the Detroit Tigers. The man of the hour in Detroit is Prince Fielder, the slugger who came here from Milwaukee a year ago with a contract worth $214 million, which is the price of a small factory in the auto industry. So far this year, he's hit 23 homers. He's batting .311. That's the best average of his career, but it's not the best home run production. And the Illich family, which owns the Tigers, invested in Prince Fielder so they could get to the World Series. Right now, the Tigers are not even in first place in the American League Central, and all eyes in Detroit in the coming month will be on the Tigers and whether they can get their act together and end up in the playoffs.
So money can't always buy you a win.
No, money can buy happiness, but it can't buy you a World Series, apparently, unless you're the Yankees.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.